Hello and welcome to Signal Over Noise. I'm Ulrike Hoffmann-Borchardi, CIO for the Americas and Global Head of Equities for UBS Wealth Management. Innovation has consistently been an engine of US economic growth. Today, less than a week away from the 250th anniversary of the US, we look back at three key lessons from America's great historical capital cycles, based on our series on American innovation. The 19th century railroads, the 1920s electrification, and the 1990s internet and telco boom. And we apply them to the most important market question today, the trajectory of AI CapEx. Lesson number one, CapEx cycles rhyme. Despite the common narrative that this time is different, innovation cycles typically follow a similar pattern. Euphoria, overcapacity, a painful bust, and an ultimate golden age. What differs are the length and the intensity of the build. Here's the data. The railroad cycle was a seven-decade marathon from 1840 to 1911. At its peak in the 1880s, railroad capex reached a staggering 6% of US GDP. The 1920s electrification cycles was a decade-long build-out from 1920 to 30. The capex of utilities and factories rose to 1.7% of GDP, driving the percentage of American homes and factories with power from 30 to nearly 70% by 1930. And the internet and telco cycle from 1996 to 2001 was driven by the narrative that internet traffic was doubling every 100 days. At the 2000 peak, internet infrastructure and IT equipment spending climbed to roughly 4% of US GDP. The driving force behind this spend was not just the projected return from innovation, but also the competitive dynamics. This leads to lesson two. Competitive necessity drives overspend. Here you see it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place, says the Red Queen to Alice in the sequel to Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. This remark is a good metaphor for the competitive necessity that marks innovation cycles. If your rivals are building out capacity, you feel compelled to match them or risk being left behind. The railroads laid thousands of miles of duplicate tracks simply to block rival lines from entering territories, leaving a map of unprofitable ghost lines. Competing rail companies engaged in ruinous price wars. Hundreds of rail companies went bankrupt during the panics of 1873 and 1893. Equally, by 1929, the manufacturing sectors that had electrified and were the fastest to electrify were saddled with the highest excess capacity. Because factories could produce far more goods than the public could buy, corporate investment plummeted. When the market crashed in late 1929, the utility market collapsed with it. During the 1990s telco boom, companies were building global networks to compete for the same pool of customers. As a result, global bandwidth supply was growing much faster than human demand. When the bubble burst, 95% of dead fiber sat dark and unused. It was this overcapacity that leads to lesson three. Lasting wealth creation happens in the application layer. Cheap rail transportation allowed companies like Sears to invent the mail order catalog and Carnegie to build a steel empire. In the 1920s, manufacturers like Henry Ford's, who used electric assembly lines for factory productivity, and consumer electronic pioneers like RCA benefited from cheap electricity. During the 1990s, millions of miles of fiber optic cable provided the cheap, abundant bandwidth that fueled the multi-trillion dollar web application giants of the 2010s. So what does this all mean for the AI CapEx cycle? Even though the AI CapEx cycle has been the fastest ramp in history, we see further upside ahead and estimate that AI CapEx will reach 3% of US GDP next year, fueled by agentic and autonomous AI. What is different this time is that the useful life of the infrastructure is shorter than railroads, utilities, and fiber networks, which should extend the durability of the cycle. Demand can also scale more quickly as autonomous agents are not bound by human constraints. At the same time, we are seeing green shoots that value creation is starting to emerge in the application layer of AI, in areas of coding, law, finance, and cybersecurity, addressing a market equivalent of $50 trillion of knowledge worker salaries globally. What warrants close attention, though, are the competitive dynamics, which resemble those during the rise of the railroad, electrification, and the internet. We have many companies competing for the frontier of intelligence. They're all spending billions of dollars on training models that are built for the same end users. And there are low switching costs between the models, creating price competition. If profits are difficult to come by and funding for the intelligence and application layer companies dries up, we may face a period of compute glut, much like we faced in prior cycles. So to summarize, we believe that the current AI CapEx cycle has legs and that investments in AI infrastructure are still attractive. There will likely be periods of glut like in prior cycles, but the shorter lifespan of AI infrastructure and the more elastic demand from autonomous AI suggest that the glut is likely more quickly absorbed than during prior cycles. With this, stay well and stay ahead. Happy July 4th, and see you back in 2 weeks.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.